welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review two wines from Gabbiano in their Chianti and Chianti Classico. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Viva Chianti! Good evening, folks.
Strangely enough, we're drinking Merlot tonight. Also on the show tonight is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Scott actually wasn't lying. Tonight we're doing a... Well, we've done things like this before, but not quite like this.
This is different.
Right now, what we're doing tonight is we're going to be comparing two styles or two levels of Chianti back to back. We have the Chianti, standard Chianti, and the Chianti Classico from one producer in the same vintage. So, 2017 is the vintage, and the producer is Castello de Gabbiano. Gabbiano. Let's just call it Gabbiano. Or Cavalier de Oro, however you want to look at it. It's both things. It's the wine with the knight on it. Okay, you know that. You've seen it. It's there. It's very common.
A knight and a horse.
So the knight is on a horse.
A knight on a horse.
That's right.
But that's our animal role.
I can honestly though attest. I can vouch for Gabbiano's very average quality. How's that sound?
Oh.
No. Certain vintages are okay. I have some of the Reserva and the 15 Chianti Classico in the vault. Got 92s from the Spectator. I tried it.
But
it's
no,
good.
Scott, are we drinking either of those tonight?
No. Because we needed...
We're drinking a very average...
Yes.
Well, this could be spectacular.
Well, it's a controlled experiment. Do you get anything by bumping up that next money, at least in Gabbiano? Although Gabbiano, I think, is representative
of
everything else.
We've not found that to really be the case. Normally just the regular is the best. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, yeah, a little bit different in this regard. Both of them can be bought at virtually every grocery store that existed since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of also the utility in this.
Yeah.
So we're going to see.
It's nothing special.
And you know what's the best
thing? That's what you just said.
I know. The best thing... is normally these are like the Chianti comes in at what, $13-14, and the Chianti Classico $15-17. I got the Chianti for $6.
$6.33.
And the Chianti Classico for $9.32.
Wow. So you basically bought both bottles for what, one?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. See, that made this even more sweeter.
I just am really looking forward to drinking this wine.
You should be.
It was on clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a horse on the front.
Fairness, it was red tagged. You get the dreaded red tag.
So that's like, do you remember Filene's Basement?
Yeah.
I love Filene's Basement.
It's like, those are like TJ Maxx leftovers went to Filene's Basement.
In Gabbiano's defense, though, it normally gets the red tag. So it always survives the red tag. It comes back for another try. Hmm. People don't drink Chianti. If they do, they buy the wrong stuff. Not that this is the right stuff, but they buy the wrong stuff. Mm-hmm. We're also going to also consider, mind you, is this better than something like Centine or Col di Sasso or Montantico or other Tuscan red blends that don't necessarily follow the same rules and regulations that the Chiantes have to?
What are those?
They've actually have quite a few rules.
Yes. We're going to discuss that.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Discuss a little bit of that.
Okay.
But first, we're going to take a break because I'm parched. But when we come back, we're going to get into the world of Chianti, which is very, very, very exciting
very
for
exciting.
People that are not particularly interesting. They aren't.
Well,
no.
What?
No.
That's very interesting.
Remember that guy that had all that clothing at that beer tasting that was the mail order guy? You know, every piece of clothing he got through a magazine.
Yeah,
subscription.
That guy.
Yeah. That guy would find this interesting. So that's good.
Well, but I find it interesting.
Yeah, I know. You're that guy.
Dang it.
Here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks, for our Night of Chianti. Maybe this will be as good as our Night of Semillon. Probably not. But maybe for the show. You know.
I feel like you could have come up with a better name than Night of Chianti.
I don't really know if it's a name I'm coming up with. I just said that. I don't know.
Was it night as in evening or night as in the rider on the horse?
Oh. Well, seeing that it's more clever, it's rider on the horse, that one. I never thought of that.
That was very kind of you.
Yes, thank you.
What can I say?
Now, the difference between, and we'll just discuss Chianti Classicos, because that's what's put in front of us right now. But Chianti, folks, a minimum, and this is the rules, a minimum of 70% Sangiovese has to be in the wine, okay? Then a maximum of 10% being white grapes.
Oh. Okay?
But native red grapes like Cannolo, Nero, and Corino, as well as the international varieties like Cabernet, Merlot, and Syrah are also used. This particular one, this Chianti, 90% Sangiovese, 5% Merlot, the rest 5 are just some other local varietals.
So, and to be Chianti Classico, it's got to be at least 80%.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And only red grapes.
Mm-hmm. Now, this Chianti Classico, once again, is 90%.
So the tasting notes say 10% other red berry vines.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if this was in the U.S., if it said other red berry vines, we would be like almost unable to drink the wine. Don't you think that?
Well, yeah, I think they're saying red fruit wines. Yeah.
Well, but you know, in the U.S., that would be stretched to the limit of what is drinkable.
They would actually put raspberries in the wine. Yes, yes.
So, and I feel like raspberries would be like best case scenario on it.
Well, the last wine we had, you and I had, from Cavaliere d'Oro was their Primitivo. And that was ghastly.
It was awful.
Ghastly. I saw that case stacked like crazy at Lucky's Market for $6. And I'm looking around like, you bitches going to buy this shit? Don't do it.
You're like telling people, don't. Put it back. Put it back.
So we love that varietal. You know, Zinfandel, Primitivo.
Yeah.
That was worse than the Grifone. It really was.
Yes. It was worse than I Love Pizza.
Was it really?
Yes. There's one other thing about Chianti to Chianti Classico. Chianti is drawn from a wider area. Also, flatlands. Chianti Classico, higher elevation. Okay? So, theoretically, you're going to have better fruit concentration and everything should be better in a Chianti Classico.
Different terroir, different, absolutely, you know, stonier soil, mm-hmm, that type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then you have the Reserva, then the Grand Selezione. So, the Reserva, 2 years in barrel, plus another 3 months in bottle. And the Selezione is even better than that. I mean, 100% estate fruit. You're talking about elite wine there. And really, the Reservas, they're a few bucks more than this. Low 20s max. And the Selezions are, they can go up depending on the actual producer. I mean, you could find one that is 32 some places. But for the next place that is a more prestigious place, might be 50.
Yeah.
But it tops out, though. It really does top out.
I always think about Chianti as a table wine, but like a, mm-hmm, nice table wine. So, yeah. I could see where, and I mean, I don't mean table wine at Olive Garden. I mean table wine like you've gone to, like a version of Scally's, you know, like a nice Italian place where they make their pasta and they do all those things. That's how, in my mind, every time I have one, that's where I am transported to.
Well, it's the classic thing that, mm-hmm, we associate with eating Italian foods. Your spaghetti, your lasagna, all that kind of stuff. You think Chianti.
Sangiovese.
Oh, yeah, Sangiovese.
Sangiovese.
Mm-hmm.
It's the grape I want.
Yep.
And even... Okay, so... There's just a baseline of quality about a Sangiovese grape. Mm-hmm. It just... Even when it's bad, it's usually okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying I've never had a bad Sangiovese, but it's a pretty consistent producer, even on the low end.
The base of it is better than a lot of other, even middle of the road wines.
Even when it goes wrong.
I've had I've had a few ones that should have been careened into a telephone pole, but you know.
Well,
harsh.
You never had them. You'd be like, yeah, put a brick on the accelerator and let them go. Now, what thing we're doing, we're trying to, once again, controlled situation. Both the same style glass, both Riedel glasses, both Chianti glasses. One is a wine series for the Chianti, the other is the Venom, but those both have the same bowl shape. So everything, it's science here in the wine belt. Science.
Wow.
So... We're going to start off with the Chianti, but we are going to try to drink these at the same time, kind of, here a little bit. So we're going to go into one, we'll go to the other, then we'll just switch back and forth and just talk about them. You know, we're just going to have some fun. We're going to get crazy.
If we had a bigger, this is the only other thing I want to say before we really get into the wine.
Oh, yes.
If we had a bigger podcast budget, would you have started with a licensed of the lines from Silence of the Lambs?
I didn't realize we had a budget, but...
That's why I said if we had a bigger budget.
I'm pretty sure we've already used those lines before without a license, so nobody's...
Well, no, but I mean like the actual movie recording.
Oh, that!
Not us.
Why would
doing
you,
our best.
Why do you want that, Becky? why have
I don't
that?
Think you can drink it. I don't know if you can drink one without... saying the lines.
I once had fava beans and a nice Chianti.
That's not how you said. That's not right.
I know. I can't get in that. Well, you don't know. See, if he drank, it's easier to do that.
It's easier for him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's an easier voice. Hannibal Lecter is difficult.
You can do it.
I know, but I just can't.
Oh, you can't like jump into it?
No.
So, Scott, a long time ago, we were playing hide and go seek.
Yeah, well, you've told the story 50 times. Yes, on the show recently.
Not recently.
I just listened to it.
Because I don't remember. That doesn't.
We were playing hide and go seek. I go up this set of stairs and Rob is behind the stairs, like on this little landing. And he says,
"Hello, Becky."
I cannot believe I am still living to tell this story. I thought my heart stopped.
Neither can I.
It was the most scared I've ever been. We were in a completely dark lodge. I mean, it was black and he did that.
Yeah. Wild times.
It was.
It's what you do when there's no alcohol. You play hide and seek.
Oh, yeah, and there were only like 10 people.
No.
Basically.
A retreat. A church retreat. Yeah.
Back when Rob still did things like that with me.
It wasn't like Camp Crystal Lake. That's just too exciting for us. So
I don't know what that is.
It's Friday the 13th.
Oh.
Besides, there was nobody having sex around the murder. So, you know.
We're being engaged.
You know I don't know. You know my favorite diabolical device he had? He took a weed whacker, but he put a circular saw blade against
yes.
it. That's fucking awesome. It's terrible, too.
Okay.
Well.
You know, it's pretty awesome.
Now that we've...
Well,
we digress.
Yes, I'm sorry.
But the two are markedly similar looking in the glass.
They look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. They both demonstrate some... tartaric acid crystals.
Yes, but if you look at them, the Chianti Classico is slightly more or less translucent. And it has a bit more reddish hue.
Yeah, I would agree with you. They both have a watery edge for sure.
Yes, but look at the two side by side. The Chianti Classico does look a little bit more extracted. Deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's noticeable.
But you know, if you didn't put them side by side,
would
I'm
you
not know? Sure you would differentiate. You'd just say a nice purple hue.
But we just did. That's the way you compare things.
We're here for, right?
I know.
If you didn't put them side by side, you wouldn't see that they were different.
The translucence difference is very subtle.
Well, I mean,
it's very subtle.
if anybody out there has the ability to remember the translucence in a wine and then match it to the next one, great.
They're good?
Well, they're a little bit different than that, Scott. They're probably a superhero or of some kind, and they're fighting aliens in some foreign world.
Oh, they could be in the Space Force.
They're probably just our listeners. They're brilliant.
Yes, well, you could visit them on their spaceship, that's for sure. So,
Force ship.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's exciting. Space Force. They should have a name.
A song, you mean?
Yes.
They have a name.
The best South Park episodes
a
ever.
A better name.
It's when Carmen gets abducted by an alien.
I thought that was very, very crass.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
I don't believe in that kind of humor.
Funny? You don't believe in funny humor?
Smucker's Brothers humor, I find, is a lot more appropriate.
You mean the Smothers Brothers?
Them too. No, the Smuckers Brothers, the Jellies and Jams. The Smothers Brothers sucked.
I suppose you enjoyed the Bartles and James guys too.
It was quite good. Yes.
Oh my Lord.
See, if you wouldn't have said Smothers Brothers, nobody would have known the difference. Same thing.
All right. So on the nose.
On the nose.
It smells like Chianti.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your
a little.
There is a
tartness.
Yeah. There's something in the back, though. It's not
licorice.
Play-Doh, but there's something in there in the back. Do you
did
smell
it? Did you say
it?
Play-Doh?
I did say Play-Doh.
You know, we've done a lot of wines before. I don't know that we've brought children's toys into the
there's
discussion.
Something in the back that.
But that isn't apt. Anybody who's ever opened a can of Play-Doh.
I know what you're saying.
But
and,
I don't
you said Play-Doh. I said black licorice. But I just
don't think she's talking about the same thing.
I know. I love when Rob tries to take my sense and
what you
mansplain
Becky,
them.
What you mean to say?
It is not a Play-Doh, but it's something along those lines.
Okay, like licorice, perhaps? Because licorice tastes like shit, just like Play-Doh. But
I want to smell Play-Doh right now.
We have some upstairs.
Let's go get it.
No, it's very exciting. I agree with you. It's a okay. I'll say
a
this.
Licorice Play-Doh.
Yeah,
is
kinda,
that where you're at?
Because it does have that same kind of plasticky kind of nose to it.
The Classico is
damn you. Now I can't stop smelling it.
It's pretty strong.
Nah, it's licorice. You're crazy. You can smoke crack.
Maybe it's the plastic of a Play-Doh container. I don't know, but there is something in there that's
it's a little petrol-y plastic note to it, yes. Of some kind. But not Play-Doh.
But
yeah. It's not a terrible nose.
No.
No.
If someone, someone doesn't yell out Play-Doh.
Play-Doh.
I thought that
the Classico
since
nose
it
is
has
completely different.
10% red berry, I thought that we would have a stronger, I thought it would maybe be a sweeter nose. I think that's what I was expecting.
No, I don't
just
see
because
anything, so.
I mean, I don't see it either. I'm just saying I expected there to be more of a raspberry on the nose, but I'm not getting it at all.
Yeah. It's a little more liqueur-ish,
yeah,
the way it comes across.
Now that you say that, it is honestly, I'm getting like more of a port nose to it than sweet.
Or if you transition over to the Classico, it's so muted.
Mm. The Classico is a little more elegant on the nose.
But there's not much going on.
Well, it's not a showy nose, but what's there is actually decent. There's just a light bit, and I mean the tiniest tinge of violet to everything.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the thing that's easiest to pick up. I think there's a little earthy, woody thing in the background.
Something.
But it's so subtle. Mm-hmm.
It's a cleaner nose overall. It doesn't smell as...
Yeah.
Well,
this isn't a bad nose. The Chianti isn't a bad nose.
It's we were talking about the other things, but really, it's tart. It's got a tart nose. It kind of almost...
Volatile. Slightly volatile. Just a slight.
To your nostrils.
Yeah, a little
just
bit.
Just a little bit.
I don't mind it. I think it's actually decent for the price. But
You're not surprised by that in a Sangiovese.
No, it doesn't smell like yeasty piece of shit, which,
you can get.
Yeah.
From Gabbiano.
The other thing is sometimes we have wines that have just an amazing nose, and then we drink it, and it's like, where is the flavor that we were smelling?
We've had a few of those lately.
We've had a lot of that. And so the nose to me is fine. I don't know. I think we're just not going to be overpromised from the nose. Like, that has happened a lot.
Well, I don't think we're going to be overpromised from the palate either. But let's go in and taste.
Guess what?
Yep.
The tall glass. Okay.
That is a tart, somewhat acidic, decent representation of Chianti. It's actually got a decent body. It's medium-ish bodied.
Medium-ish.
It's not overly complex, but it's the basic Chianti. Berry flavors are present. It has a little bit of spice. Not very much, but a little bit. Actually, it's pleasing.
It is. The finish is a little flat tasting to me.
It is.
But yeah.
Yeah. This is a good drink.
I want Frank's meatballs.
No, seriously.
I want Scally's meatballs.
It's a good drink.
Crusty bread.
Yeah.
A little olive oil, Parmesan, black pepper on a plate. Dip your bread in it.
There's a little black olive.
I can taste the olive. Mm-hmm. I was headed there as well.
A slight bit of anise that kind of curls through the whole wine. Finishes up a little bit of acidity and a light bit of spice. It's a good tasty wine.
In the mid palate, and mm-hmm. it kind of lingers into the finish.
Yeah.
There's a earthy spice.
Yeah.
Like, not quite oregano, thyme maybe.
Italian blend. The Italian
blend.
Yes, the Italian blend. It's just Italian. Italian
blend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dried marjoram, oregano, and thyme.
Yes, all three of them.
What did you say about the oaking?
I didn't. Let's see what it says. There shouldn't be a great deal of oaking if there is.
No.
I thought you said
stainless steel tanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were saying something about 2 years and then some in the bottle.
That would just be aging. Reserva.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, the Chianti Classico, 10 months in French oak.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like this. I don't think that they have any more at $6. I would buy 3 or 4 bottles of this.
Easy peasy. And make red sauce just to have with this.
Yeah.
I know that you all love Sangiovese. I know that you love this kind of wine. Honestly, to me, especially with the flat finish, it feels like a little bit of a lazy wine to me.
It should
be,
though.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
It is.
But it's the style.
It is the style. It is the style. And I struggle with this every time we have it. It just kind of like meanders a little bit. Mm-hmm.
It's a good word.
Yeah. And to each his own. But to me, I'm like, you know, I'm like, I just need a little bit more. But I know that that is the style.
It's,
it's me and the wine.
But where you can, you know, in very, with the same grapes, mm-hmm. you know, you get those super Tuscans and you can have that. You have a big finish. You have something you can put some age on it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But this wine is something that you drink on a Tuesday night and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You could have this on a another night, depending on what you were having. To me, it just is like, I don't know.
Well, you don't have to be a Chianti fan.
Well, I know. I also think...
More for me.
This could only... This is like the wine you're drinking when you're making dinner. It's... And like having maybe your beginning of dinner, but it's not going to be your second or third bottle of the night.
No.
It has to just pretty much be your first.
Actually... That's a. I can't tell you when we lived in German Village how much Chianti or Primitivo I would have a glass of while I'm cooking.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's 12.5%, I think. Too,
yeah, and
so.
It's just. But it kind of. It is that bottle of wine for me. Mm-hmm. That is what I did. I can't tell you how many times.
Mm-hmm.
It practically hydrates you. It's so low in alcohol.
Oh, yeah, it's delicious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to remember. Which I just had to top off the glass. Scott, you want to top off that glass?
I do want to top off. Thank you so much.
There you go. You needed that. I could tell.
Well, that was a Christian pour.
I know.
Scott, you need your strength for what we're going to do later. So.
Uh-oh. Yeah, huh? Reprise of Mbali?
No.
I have a feeling it's going to be something white because I don't see it sitting out. Mm. Oh. Yeah, I don't see it sitting out back there. Is it white?
No.
Why?
Why? Because it's indecent to have it seen.
Is it in a can?
No. It will be eventually.
That's exciting.
Yeah, fucker.
It's less than exciting.
That's interesting that you say that that's the wine that you had while cooking all the time.
Just a soft, light mm-hmm. Italian red.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what I wanted this wine to be, though.
And
yeah.
And what Becky said plainly has merit. It's not...
Sure.
It's just the style of the wine. It doesn't have a big finish.
No.
And I don't know that I've ever had a Chianti base that had a big finish.
Oh,
a dry finish.
Well, I mean, once again, you spend more, you get more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the bottom rung. But you go up to the Selezions, you're going to get a big finish. Even reservas occasionally. Not Gabbiano
but
reserva.
But I'm talking about just Chianti Classico. This is what you're going to get on the finish. You're not going to get something that lingers, something that goes places.
We always say that Nebbiolo is more akin to Pinot. But in reality, is it? Because even though we drink these out of Zin glasses, the delicacy of a lot of the less expensive Chiantes, like the Ebola, things of that nature, or the rose water. Remember the rose water?
Rose water.
Of course. But all of those have delicate flavors to them, like a Pinot might. It has a lighter body, like a Pinot might.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit different in the way it comes across. And it's.
I think that's fair, but to me, this something that I really like about Pinots is I think that they're... they have a really feminine quality to them, like a delicate quality to them. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have that.
No, I would agree because of the acidity.
And I don't necessarily think it's like a masculine, strong, bigger wine. It just isn't a delicate wine.
And I think you can have, an Italian red, whether it's Chianti Classico, that can be more delicate. Mm. Just typically you're not going to expect that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the fruit flavors, though, the way they come across, aren't as inviting in that sense.
No. So
you're never going to have a silky jaminess to it.
No.
Or even necessarily a silkiness.
Yeah.
That's not what they're for. They're a little more rustic. But I like both.
So I think...
as evidenced by your old second glass already.
What are you going to have to like to be down with Chianti or Chianti Classico, the base stuff? And I think...
Oh.
Tartness.
Acidity.
A little acidity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to like acidity. You're going to have to like Sangiovese, because this is just a Sangiovese.
It's just what it is. And it's... They can be tannic, but don't expect that.
No. Yeah. The acidity's there where the tannins normally would be.
So if you don't do acidity, and you're more of a tannin person... This is probably not for you.
Probably not.
But
we like it.
So surprised? Not surprised by the quality of this? The drinkability of this?
I am very much surprised by the drinkability of this. I thought it might be a yeasty mess.
And that... But the flaw you get from Chianti's, that is it.
Well, Chianti's have been getting...
yeasty messes.
They have been getting good reviews recently, including the Gabbiano. So it goes to show... They've just been hitting solid base hits. And this is a solid base hit. And Chianti,
solid base hit.
They haven't had a trashy vintage. Like the 18 Sauvignon Blancs from New Zealand were trashy. We saw that. Got an 83 from Parker, the whole vintage. Yeah.
This might not have smacked over the pitcher's head, but this is a solid one hopper between first and second base. Yep.
Okay, that guy that was wearing the matching clothes, he doesn't understand that reference.
So let's get back to him real quick.
Okay. First of all, there's a picture of Scott taking a picture of this man.
It was great.
But when I think back on it, I realize what you were actually doing.
Stalking?
Well, you were looking at his ass and taking a picture of his ass, because that's the way you were standing there.
Well, he was showing plumber's butt, if you don't remember. Well, why you pointed it out.
Well, why would you take a picture of a man's ass?
You told me to take his picture.
I didn't tell you to take a picture
of
his
ass. Oh, my Lord.
You were standing behind him like this, and this is the look on his face. It's like that look where you're sly, but you're like a little bit excited about it. That's Scott's look on his face.
No.
Yeah, you were. You were attracted to that man.
What?
Yeah, I said it. Face reality for it.
He was wearing velour sweatpants.
I know.
Like Juicy
Couture. Yes.
Well,
Juicy like was what Scott was thinking, yeah.
Juicy Quattro.
What?
It was some off-brand. But no. His jacket he got from Sports Illustrated getting a magazine subscription.
And his pants he got from probably the National Geographic.
So I have a question from the wine tasting notes.
Oh, yes.
They say this wine is intended to be drunk young and fresh within the first 2 years.
That's true.
So we're in 3 years. But drunk.
From release. 3 years from release. So it's normally
two years.
Two years from release.
Okay. So would you say that you feel like this wine tastes young and fresh? Bright, lively fruit and freshness are the hallmarks of it.
I mean, I've had more vibrant wines, but this wine tastes fine, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not definitely on its end. But yeah, 2 years from the release date, I think, is fair. I mean, that's reasonable. Why would you hold on to a Chianti longer than that? There are some Chianti Classicos that the Spectator thinks can be drank, all the way back from antiquity, but I don't necessarily agree with him on that. But,
yeah. I wouldn't invest heavily in that for a cellar selection.
No.
I don't know about young tasting, but it doesn't taste spent.
Yeah.
No, it just tastes fine.
I wonder what this acidity was a year ago, though.
Was
it as nice as it is now?
I'm assuming when it came straight off the boat, it might have been slightly volatile. But then again, how much of evolution are you going to get from that?
Acidity is something that can calm down with, simply 6 months.
Well, bottle shock, too. I mean, this isn't showing that. It does have a bit of acidity. I mean...
A bit, not a lot.
But it's... Yeah. If acidity is not your thing, this would be too much acidity.
Mm. Yeah. And if you've got the herpes, you don't want to drink this. The herpes. Yeah, them. So, folks.
Herpes Villa Show?
Triple
B. He was on that show, The Love Boat.
That's her. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Triple B right now is doing... What are you making over there?
My name.
Your name. She likes to do an outline of her name during the show.
Yep. Yeah. When you all get off on your tangents, I have to bring you back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Late at night, her peas wakes me up when she takes that journey over to the bathroom. She's loud.
Who, me?
What?
No.
What are you talking about?
Princess.
What?
Her peas.
Did you fall off a chair and hit your head? I didn't notice that.
What? No, but my grandfather dropped me on my head when I was one.
Well, he should have thrown you. Okay.
Allegedly he did.
Good. He must have been able to. Yeah, it's a foresight right there.
Well.
Yeah, explain your haircut.
Her
so, folks.
Wake me up? Okay. No.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, herpes. He's back on herpes.
I never left it.
Waka, waka, waka! Here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. Hey And we're back, folks. So now we're going to go on to the Reserva, or Reserva,
the Chianti Classico.
Don't you wish we were going on to the Reserva?
I have the 13 Reserva in there.
Well, let's go.
No.
Let's go.
But we have the Chianti Classico now. 10 months on French oak. More mountainous grapes that they pull it from. Different but nose. Still 90-10, just
more
like the other.
Subtle nose.
It is. And as we covered before, it is a little bit less translucent.
What was your word? Elegant? A little more elegant nose?
It's more elegant, yes. Not to suggest it's elegant, it's just more elegant than the Chianti. Hmm. I'm still being negative, folks, because the negative worked with the Chianti, so why not try it with the Chianti Classico? Oh, and we're drinking. That's right.
This is a bit fuller bodied.
A little, and it actually has kind of a roundish mouth feel
from the oak.
Did you get some heat?
No.
Becky?
Mm-mm.
No?
Like pepper heat?
No, like heat, like alcohol heat?
No.
Oh.
I didn't notice that, no.
I am honestly not getting a lot out of it besides the oaking, which is also very subtle.
Honestly, it tastes similar to the Chianti. However, it tastes like the Chianti on oak.
Which is kind of refreshing that the difference between the two.
I would hope that would not be the case, oaking. Though.
Well, it does have that different mouthfeel.
But it's not supposed to be.
What are you saying?
It's supposed to be a different grape stock.
Yeah.
I mean, what? No, not yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be a different grape stock. It's supposed to be pulled from different vineyards.
Well, different provinces, different townships.
And in those townships are vineyards.
Correct.
Our tasting notes say it should have flavors of bright red cherry, notes of white pepper and nutmeg, and a savory character that is classic Sangiovese, firm tannins, and bright acidity.
That being said, though, Robert, grapes from Chianti are grown in the same region, the same province as Florence and Siena. Now, there's other regions it can be grown in, yeah. Other provinces, but where Classico, it's only grown in Florence and Siena, so it could be.
No, it's not supposed to be from you're not supposed to have, here's our Chianti, okay, and then here's our Chianti, and we put it on 10 months of French oak, okay, that's our Chianti Classico. That's not how that works.
Well, maybe it is how it works for
Cavalier de Oro is where they do that, huh?
But this is different. It's got a rounder mouthfeel.
From the oak, yes.
It's the acidity's a little different.
From the oak, yes. Okay. Oak will do that.
Correct.
It's a better wine, theoretically. It's just you back to back, you say, what? I mean, you know, what?
That is the only difference.
Yes, it is. The oak.
I'm not saying the straight Chianti is a better wine than this one, but I think I prefer it.
I'm saying that there might have been an envelope of cash handed to the authorities when they were doing this. Why is that barrel right next to the vat of Chianti? Oh,
No, you can take...
As a spigot.
You can make Chianti from the same region as Chianti Classico.
I know, but you're not supposed to. I mean, if you're doing a Classico, it's supposed to be better. Not just the same shit with tinsel on it. It's not bad. It's good.
But maybe.
But what?
Gabbiano.
It was lazy?
I mean, it is their budget entry price. It is their... Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What are you defending?
They took the same... Oh, no, I'm not defending.
Nefarious behavior.
Maybe they did it.
I mean, they'll say, this is from the mountains. It's not. It's the same damn grapes. It's the same stuff. The same blend. It's suspiciously 90-10.
It is 90-10.
Yeah. And it's the same 90-10 from the same damn...
Unidentified. No, wait. The one... No. Chianti said 5% Merlot.
Yeah, and the other one just didn't say.
I didn't see that on my tasting notes.
It's because I have different tasting notes.
You had the ones that they passed to the authorities. Yes. We have the ones that actually came out.
Yes. The ringers. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why would it be so nefarious for them to do that?
Okay, Scott.
Why was that nefarious?
Before we go to potpourri time. Can we have Scott tell about the salad he made and brought over?
We can, but I want...
That is the true star of the show.
I want to make one point.
Okay.
This is the Chevy Equinox. This is the Cadillac, whatever it is. This
Traverse?
The Cadillac, whatever the fuck the thing is. It's still a Chevy Equinox. It just has some leather seats in it. It's the same fucking car.
Well, I think... A more apt comparison would be GMC to Chevy, but that's okay.
Well, that's okay. Well, okay, that's a good point. Fair enough. But they don't. Do they have the GMC? They don't have a GMC Equinox.
They have that Terrain.
Yeah, it's called the Terrain. Yeah,
yeah, it's the same.
Exactly. Oh well, there's a Traverse and the Terrain, but is the Terrain more expensive? No. What I'm saying,
I don't know the price point. I'm not a Chevy or GMC guy.
This is still a Chevy. It's still a Chevy.
Well, for sure.
It just has
oaked.
Faux wood.
It's not faux. It's actually.
It's real wood. But
we're underselling how well oaked this is. So is it spectacularly oaked? No.
No, but it's...
But it's got a nice... Listen, they transformed the base Chianti to this nice round mouthfeel with base gulking.
Gulking?
Skillful. Gulking?
Skillful.
And then you do the gokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's what shouldn't, go all about.
Shouldn't the
gokey.
They're like, shouldn't the wines be from the mountains? It's like, well.
Is that Italian?
No, it's more French.
That
but
sounded German.
It could be German.
It was like fake. It was like Czech.
They were with him in number two, so it's the same difference. Okay. Anyway.
You want to do what with your number two?
Anyway.
Robert.
They drove over the mountains to ship this stuff. So
ship this stuff?
Yeah,
Robert, you're tripping yourself up. What do you want to do with your number two?
Rub your face at it. So, folks, we're going to take a break because Triple B wants to do a potpourri here.
Before we do the potpourri, I want Scott to tell what about a salad he made because it's amazing.
I know you do. I know you want that. I know. You know what? I'm going to grant that wish.
Let's just talk food during the potpourri.
Exactly.
I thought you were going to use your question.
My question?
That you asked me the other night.
That's a good point. I'll have to remind you of what the question is.
We are all over the place, folks.
That's a good point.
I think it's because Rob's basically three glasses in.
No, I just have no idea what I did last week. So here we are. Stumped once again. On the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, despite the copycat wines we have in our glasses, we have a interesting potpourri tonight. Kind of. The Triple B has reminded me what it was off air, and I actually agree with myself. It's a good idea.
Which of you snorted? I didn't catch it.
That's true.
Because you'll snort sometimes.
That's true.
Rob will snort. He will.
But normally at my own jokes. I made that joke, didn't I? But I wasn't joking. So, on tonight's show, we're going to go around the room, and each person is going to give their top three varietals. Mm. Okay?
Okay.
We're going to start off, and why? After we all reveal them. So, the Triple B.
Do we want to do, I'll do our first, or go ahead and do all top three?
No, let's do that. Let's just do number ones, number twos, or do we want to do 3, 2, 1?
Ooh.
So Ooh, many decisions.
Would, let's do 3, 2, 1. I know mine.
Good.
I'll start with my three.
All right.
My number three is Sauvignon Blanc. Because if I think about it as I have three wines to choose from for the end of time or something like that. I love a good crisp white wine. That would be my choice. I just think it's... We hardly ever drink it, really.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do have it, it just makes me... It's a very happy drink for me.
I just shared Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc with my mom, and she loved it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. I've recommended it to a couple of friends. I have a friend that's allergic to... In red wine, what's she allergic to?
Sulfites?
Something else.
That's all there is, isn't it?
No, she's allergic to something else, but anyway.
The tannins in red wine?
I was thinking tannins. I don't remember. Anyway, she's allergic to something. She can only drink white wine. And so I recommended it to her, and it's found everywhere, but it's so good. I feel like it's one of the best grocery store wines there is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, Scott.
Number three.
This is great because he normally likes to sit there and think for 50
years.
Yeah,
number three is hard. I know it. Everybody knows what number one is. That's easy. And number two, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to...
Concord.
You know, more and more and more, I enjoy Petite Sirah. Hmm? I'm going to go with Petite Sirah's number three.
Okay. That's
interesting. I like the size of it. We'll talk more about whys afterwards. I think that was the game.
The size.
I like the size of it.
My three. It's Pinot Noir.
Mm. How pompous of you. How pompous of you.
Sophisticated.
Yeah, right. That's you.
Number two.
My number two is Cab.
Cat Brunet.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you had asked me this question a year ago, I would have said Zen at the number two spot.
Mm.
When Rob and I had the conversation about this before, I think I've just had too many jammy Zins, which is fine, but I just have had too many of them. And I really, I just love a cab now. I think I kind of almost graduated to a cab from a Zin. I don't know. Mm. What do you think, Scott?
What's your number two?
I'm cheating. My number two is Bordeaux Blends. I love
Pismo. It's fine.
It is. It's almost a varietal.
Yes, it's fine.
It's almost a varietal. I love a good budget entry price Bordeaux blend. We love Bordeaux. I had to say Petite Sirah is my three because I didn't want to give away Bordeaux blend as number two. I was going to say Rhone blends as number three. Because probably... That is my number three, but I went Petite Sirah just to ingratiate myself with the wine guy.
So funny. I love it.
He's really perturbed.
Oh, he is. It's
fucking sick.
Folks.
Six different wines.
He's like.
It's fine.
It's bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
It's bullshit.
It's fine. What's your number
we
two?
We French would not say bullshit to you.
Grenache.
What? No, it's not. Your number two is not Grenache.
Don't tell me what I like.
It's he not said number that the two. Other night. I agree.
Did he really say that?
Mm-hmm. But it's a Grenache blend. Well, normally it's blent with something. So in France, isn't they going to have a little blend?
Blint. blunt?
They blend it with it.
Jeez. They blent it?
You can't talk at all, so don't even want to hear it.
They blented it.
They wazzed blended it up it. With a wazzer stick?
I know. I can't talk. What do you mean I can't talk at all?
What were you trying to talk about? What were you trying to say the other night?
Did they emulsify it?
What? Somebody down there with no teeth in Kentucky could understand what you were saying. What was it?
I didn't say anything. I just said I could tell that I had been around my mom and sister because my accent came out really big.
All I heard was that a fiddle.
How did that have anything to do with no teeth?
I don't know.
Right.
It was.
She mentioned her mom and sister, two beautiful, wonderful people.
I didn't
people.
Say that about them. I have hate in my heart. I'm sorry.
That's what happened.
You definitely.
I need to see a psychiatrist, not you.
Bordeaux blend.
Okay.
Robert.
Well, number one.
Robert.
Nah.
Are you ready for your visit?
In reality, Scott, time. I'm going to accept your Bordeaux blend because my Grenache is going to have something in it with it. So it's not going to be pure Grenache.
Well. My number one.
Mm.
Ugh, I just got a drink of that and it. Ugh. Ugh. That oak on the end is not, I do not like it. Okay, so my number one, which again, when I said that I think if you had asked me these a year ago, it would have changed. My opinions on it would have changed. But my number one right now is Pinot.
Yeah.
Whenever.
I had it written down before you said it.
Well, because I told you the other day. It's not like you thought of that yourself.
I'm judging.
Pretentious? Is that why you're judging?
I'm judging.
I was
sophisticated.
No.
I was really excited when I went to Kroger, what night? Friday night?
Yes.
And I got a Pinot to try. It was too close. It needs to sit. But it was still like, oh, this is so much fun. I knew that I wanted to buy a Pinot.
That's cool.
And it, I feel like there is so much for me to learn and explore in a Pinot. And I think that's why it's my number one right now. Because there's so many different flavors you can get. To an extent, I feel like Zin's dropped out for me a little bit because I feel like you kind of know what's coming. It's like almost follows a pattern to me. Cab, I feel like you can sometimes, it's like a little bit more like Wild Wild West. But to me, Pinot is that right now.
That's true. It's a good it's a good place to explore. Scott.
Rebecca, why did you dispense with Zinfandel? You know, the Zinfandel loves you. The turtly mouth feel. Why did you discard it?
Because it's basic.
We're questioning your loyalty.
I'm not.
So my number one is Zinfandel.
Wow.
Because I am true to myself and our roots on the show. We love the turtly mouth. No. Zinfandel's my favorite.
Is this a sign of loyalty to Christina Turley?
No, to the winemakers. I'd love, that's my number one variety. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Mm. And, you know, it's been a 5-year window of spectacular Zinfandel grapes in California.
I feel like Turley is exempt from my comments.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
If I could drink Turley every day, I would drink Turley.
No shit. Right.
So now it's back to me. My number one. It's going to be a surprise.
It is not.
But it has to be Malbec.
You're so stupid. From Argentina. It is not.
It's so juicy. And maybe
Couture?
It's could be Gamay. Or maybe it's Shiraz.
It is not either of those.
No, it's not. It's Cabernet. Cabernet is my number one choice because it's the grandest of all the grapes.
It's the grandest of all the grapes?
Yes. Ask anybody that knows about wine. They'll tell you Cabernet. What do you think is grandest?
Okay, hold on. Before we...
Bordeaux blend.
Before,
that's not what the French would say.
Before we go somewhere else, Burgundy? Scott. Question.
Pinot. That's what they would say, Pinot.
Your fourth. The one that you were like, I don't know if I should include it. What was it?
I really like Tempranillo.
That four is Tempranillo for me, too.
You know,
I told Rob
I mean,
that.
I also
exactly
like...
exactly what I said.
You know, Grenache. Grenache is up there. Whether it's Australian,
it
Spanish, or French, Grenache is up there.
Well, Grenache is a chameleon. That's what's number two.
It is a chameleon. Well, so is Zinfandel.
No, it's
not. What would stop.
4 and 5 be?
My 4 and 5. Ooh. Monstro.
Okay.
Be 4.
Same thing.
And 5.
Same reason we like Tempranillo.
5 would be Malbec.
You're so dumb.
It would be actually.
If you don't say what I'm thinking, I'm going to throw something at you.
It would be Merlot.
No, it would not.
Neither of you is being honest if Zinfandel's not in your top 5.
It doesn't have
neither
to be.
Neither of you is being honest.
I said Zin's my 5. Actually, Turley is my 5.
Okay. Turley's number 1.
What were you going to throw your pen at me if I didn't say it? 5.
I think 5 for you is Sangiovese.
No.
Yes, it is, Rob. You love it. I don't mean in terms of it being grand. I mean in terms of things that you enjoy drinking and that make you happy to drink.
Scott, do I enjoy, do I love Sangiovese?
Is your 5.
No, Sangiovese is, it would be behind, obviously, Zinfandel, Tempranillo, Malbec.
No, I think that you don't want to put it on there. But when you have Sauvignon a Sangiovese, it makes you so happy.
When have I been happy about Sangiovese? I don't recall this. When was the last time? I'm serious. When was the last time I was...
I just feel like I would be fine if I never drank another one.
That's true. I mean, I respect it. It's a different style. I do enjoy the departure. But then again, I'd love the departure to have a Pinot. Or the departure to have Cab. I love the departure to have a Merlot, a good Merlot. I sometimes have a hankering for a good Merlot. I know that's an oxymoron to some people, but there is, in fact, good Merlot.
Yeah, I know. I don't know that I've had that feeling very often.
Well, it's because I drank Paloma by myself, but still. I don't know, whatever.
And that's excluding, like, your port and your...
But, yeah, and it excludes port, because port is, above all, just evil.
Well,
what? I'm sorry I didn't say
varietal.
I'm sorry I didn't say Zinfandel, but Zinfandel, I'd like Zinfandel. But Zinfandel isn't transformative.
You're not transformative.
I mean, Turley is fantastic.
It really is.
But it just makes me think of a hangover, quite frankly. It's 17%. It's like 85% alcohol, man. It's like it's the Everclear of wine.
Like, hey, you can't handle it? You can't handle the Turley?
I don't know.
I think when he has Turley, he's like, let's have another. Let's have another.
No. I'd say that anyway. But,
no.
I can't believe, when Rob asked me that question the other night, it was so startling to me that we haven't talked about that. But I think it would be really interesting to review it again in a year.
I think we've talked
done
about it, but
we've done this before, but it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And
Petit Verdot.
All of our palates change with time. Rob and I have talked. It's been a while since we've done this on the show, but we've changed so much just from doing this. Mm-hmm. You get exposed to different things. You pick up the characteristics of different things. And what's different about our format, we talk about it. We're drinking a bottle of wine. We're not just doing a review where we taste and spit. You know, we're not tasting 200 things in a night. We're drinking wine. We're sharing it. We're having an experience. Yeah, we're making fun of each other because Rob does exist. Mm-hmm. And it's just in doing that, our palates change, our desires change, our likes change. I don't think of the three of us, you were so closed-minded about wine. You just couldn't even embrace things. Now you'll try anything.
Yeah.
And you'll be open to it. And if something surprises you that you like it, I don't think that happened to you before. So it's like a year from now, what's going to be your favorite wine? It's going to be interesting to see.
I know. I kind of want to put it on the calendar.
We haven't tested you with an old Chateauneuf du Pape yet.
And that's the beautiful thing about wine, folks.
That's the graduation. If you can drink old Chateauneuf du Pape and say, I like this, you've graduated.
I would say, Rob, you've mentored me to this point.
Well, I'm both of your mentors.
It's your journey. It's your palate. To thank. It's your tasting.
For
it's
everything.
Doing what you do.
I can't even barely hear you over, Rob.
That's true.
All right. I'm ready to rate and review this.
Are you?
Yeah.
Perhaps I'm not. But I am, in fact.
I don't know. I think we need to drink more.
Well, we can do that during the break. But when we get back, folks, we're going to give reviews to the Chianti. And then to the Chianti of Gabbiano, the
Classico?
The used Rolex salesman of wines here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, we have two Chiantes.
I have my notes ready.
The Gabbiano Chianti Classico and the the Gabbiano Chianti and the Gabbiano Chianti.
We need to talk about what we've been eating.
Yes, please.
Oh, Scott, you have never talked about that yet.
So, Becky's request. This was...
I can't believe Rob didn't request it after he talked it up.
I'm not needy.
It was made for Robert because we had a little outdoor gathering. And I made this dish, and Rob said it was the best thing he's ever had. I think he was exaggerating, but it's really good.
It's so good.
That night, it was the best thing ever. Not on that night, but...
I mean, you could call this a lot of things. It's a feta cheese salad, but it the two key ingredients are not just lemon juice, but lemon zest and fresh mint. Mm-hmm. You can't... Feta, black olives, fresh mint. You can't beat those things. These were nice tomatoes, not as nice as the ones we had the night I made it the first time. But it's tomatoes. I treat my tomatoes with black pepper and salt, the lemon zest, and I just let them sit for at least a day. Then it's red onion, nice Kalamata olives. I slice them straight down the middle. These are grape tomatoes, which I slice on the bias. And then the mint, I just... mix in with the feta cheese, coat them with salt and pepper and olive oil and stirring. But the feta cheese is Trader Joe's big 8-ounce block and just kind of chunk it rustically because you can.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon juice, olive oil, that's it. It's freaking simple deliciousness, but mint straight from my garden.
Very good. I would eat that all day long.
It's just... And it
healthy too.
What couldn't you serve this with?
I mean, there's nothing that it wouldn't go with. It would go with a big steak. It would go with a chicken breast. It would go with a fish. It would go with everything.
Yeah.
I mean, delicious.
You could serve some bruschetta. You could. Mm-hmm. You could.
I mean, no. You could use it as a topper. You know, a wonderful piece of sole.
Oh.
Just that on top of it, or even like
any white fish, yeah.
Yeah, any white fish. Oh, sea bass.
I haven't done this exact iteration of it, but scrambled eggs. I'll just, you know, I eat so many scrambled eggs on the keto.
Mm-hmm.
You have scrambled eggs, a little cheese, a little salad like this on top of it. Freaking nice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Triple B will be right back because she had to go upstairs and wee-wee. You know, but let's talk
herpes.
Yes, herpes.
Herpes.
Scott, briefly. Where are you on both these wines? We both agree that they are wildly, suspiciously similar.
Yeah, you know? For sure. And you like to degrade that. I don't have a problem with it. I would not be shocked at all if they're the same wine. One's oaked and one's not. I don't care.
I do.
Well, why?
Because I hold things to a higher standard.
But this, so
if obviously the not Chianti, on co-hosts, but you know, in
if
wine.
If the Chianti is made from the same region as the Chianti Classico, why do you think lesser of it?
I didn't say I think lesser of it. It just pisses me off.
Okay.
I like them both.
Mm.
I would recommend them both.
I would recommend them both. So what I like about the Chianti is that acidity, it's almost a perfect iteration of Sangiovese acidity at an entry level, and it's just it's what you expect.
Yeah.
So it even though the Classico is a better wine, I kind of prefer the Chianti just because of that raw acidity.
Time and place.
For sure.
So for scores, folks, we're going to start off with the Triple B, who never left. She's always been here.
Been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Which one are we? Are we doing both reviews at the same time?
Why not?
No. We're going to do the Chianti first.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Simply because you said something different.
Curveball. That's actually a screwball is what I would call
You're
it.
You're the screwball.
Well, so I would give this
more
one
of a knuckleball.
An 86.
Oh, wow.
I think it's, you drink it, you know what it is.
This is the Chianti, just standard Chianti. Yeah.
I think it has a flat finish. That would be my biggest critique of it. And like I said before, I feel like just Sangiovese in general to me is a little bit of a lazy, non-structured wine. And when we were talking about it, I kept thinking, like, there's almost olive. There's almost this. There's almost that. And it's like, it's almost.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was really any of that, I feel like it would be really good. It's super drinkable. I don't feel like there's a critique of it, really. I mean, you just want more than what you're getting. To me, I just want more than what I'm getting. But yeah, 86.
Okay.
So I'm the Sangiovese apologist, and we in Sangiovese.com are going to come after the Triple B for shaming Sangiovese for not being bigger, for not being all those things that she wants. No, it's
you've had these emotions before, haven't you?
Speak to me, please. I don't
know. How dare she?
For you getting this for $6?
Oh, well, that's
one thing. If you had, what was it supposed to
13,
be?
13.
Okay.
It never is 13. $8.99, $10. It's 10-ish, below 10.
Yeah, $11.
I think I wouldn't be upset at 13. I mean,
perfectly fine. I like it also for an 86.
Yeah.
It's 85 to 86. It's not higher than that. But, folks, this is, okay, I'm going to say classic. It's Chianti. It's not Chianti Classico, but this is classic. This is what you would expect.
Yep.
Nice acidity, lean. It's fine. Folks, very recommended.
At this price point.
I was also surprised by this bottle of wine.
At this price point, an 86 equates to a 90.
Yeah.
It really does. And by the way, I already wrote down 86 because this wine is an 86.
But right. That's a good score.
It's a really good score. This is highly recommended, and it goes in the value price.
No, it does not.
It's $6?
$6.
Not go in the value price.
It's $6.
How? This wine has nothing in it.
Okay.
How about the red
all
tag
in? Okay. Well, slow down. All in favor of putting this wine in the Value Price Hall of Fame? And raise your hand.
It's because you two nuts would put Sangiovese in your top five. Neither one of you are willing to admit it, but you would put it in your top five. It wouldn't be in my top 10.
We put Silvio Grasso in the Hall of Fame last week, so we'll do anything.
I'm very uncomfortable. I have poison ivy on the webbing of my palm on my hand. Give me some benefit of the doubt, Becky.
Which hand?
It does not belong.
It's probably going to be all of my hands.
Your right hand? That's unfortunate for you.
It does not belong in the Value Price Hall of Fame.
By definition.
Then I changed my score to a 10.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter. We already voted.
It doesn't belong there.
Becky.
It's
Janet
not that
Jackson.
Good.
Becky.
Control.
It's fine.
Becky.
Learn my lesson.
We had a vote. It's called democracy. Control. We believe in that. You lost. Okay. Now on to the Chianti Classico, which I'm sure is glad it's going after that because Becky's pissed off about the Chianti going in the Hall of Fame. Although I never will make it up there because that label cannot be peeled. So, you know, whatever.
Oh, true.
I'll print something off.
Good. Okay, it doesn't belong there. That's fine.
It does belong
there. For the Classico, I gave it an 83.
Say which fucking I feel like what? Is
me being generous.
Wow.
There is nothing on the palate but oaking. And then I also wrote down, it's fine. There's nothing there. Literally, there is nothing there. I would not recommend. I would not buy it. I would for sure not be one of you two nuts sticking it in the value price. <outside.
laughs> Poor bastard of the Chianti Classico. Go ahead, Scott. E3.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm giving it the exact same score. Because 86. It's the exact same wine, except it's oaked. But honestly, this probably should score just a little higher than the Chianti.
Because it does have
a nice round mouthfeel. And the oaking is well done. I think
it's a good wine.
The acidity.
I feel like I went upstairs and you all decided to punk me by saying that this is a good wine. It's not.
No, we both like this wine while drinking it.
I think next week we need to remind you of what bad wine tastes like. We can do that.
You've been spoiled.
I didn't give it a 15. I gave it an 83.
That's low.
It's not good.
I'm 86.
What's that, comrade?
Perestroika, perestroika.
Are you putting out? Go ahead, Putin.
It's good. I also recommend it. I was surprised by both these bottles of wine. I didn't.
You recommend that?
Yeah.
You would buy that again?
Becky.
Yeah, I don't know. It's 17.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
I would drink the Chianti over this. I prefer the Chianti.
For sure. I would also.
But. This does have a round mouthfeel.
There are definitely worse wines. I'm not saying it's the worst one I've ever had. Okay. I'm saying it's fine.
Oh, it's F-I-N-E fine.
Fine.
An 86 is high.
Son, it's fine.
Is it?
I don't know what on earth.
Then what do you think about my 88
87.
That I'm 88. Doing? 88 of my points.
88 of your points, son.
I actually, I am pissed off at Gabbiano for just, but they did a good job by repackaging a wine I already like better.
Repackaging it?
Oh, they did.
You can tell how much wine the wine guys had when he's repackaging.
Repackaging?
The wine.
You can tell how much wine you haven't had when you're giving things an 83. So.
No. This is for...
Don't mansplain me. Shut up. It's my
mansplaining.
Turn.
You are out
of time. You've already
talked.
Shut up. First of all...
Becky, can I mansplain for Rob?
Okay. This is a very nice wine.
I can also wine. Do you want me to mansplain for you?
Please do it.
You can't even tell
yes,
a good wine.
Oh.
So, this is...
It's lazy. No.
It's fair.
It's very lazy.
It is a lazy thing. Hey, we are Italiano. We ought to just put this on oak and call it Chianti Classico.
I think that's a little racist to say that Italians are lazy. That's wrong.
No, they were lazy. I don't know.
Gabbiano?
Yes.
It's
no, Cavaliere d'Oro came in and did that part. Okay. They did the yoking. But I enjoy this wine, and I think it is incrementally better than a wine that I already like.
So what score are you giving it?
88.
So you would rather have this over Centine?
Centine.
Centine.
Properly pronounced?
You would rather have this over Sasso?
Yes. Uh-huh. No, that's an 88. Different wine.
Nick Manis, Petit Verdot.
He gets Centine in 89.
Yes, I would. Okay. I'm going to stick by that.
Winter?
Keep on looking. Winter, yes. Yes, I would, because I overscored that. I was higher than a kite. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
The one we've had that had a lot of variation is the Colossi.
The one you've had a lot of has had a lot of variation of Colossi. Because you tried to age it.
No, that was the Col de Sasso.
Yes. Colossi. Oh, that Colossi?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's old. That was old. And then we had the that's a Sicilian, though. And then we had the other Colossi that was a colossal dog shit.
Trinchet.
I think that if we had done our scores in reverse, you would have had a more normal score for this wine. You're just trying to accommodate.
I wrote down 88 before you even talked. When you said 83, I was like, oh.
This is one of the first times we've all been that far apart on a wine.
But guess what, Scott? We're not
it's
far
good.
Apart.
It's good for us to be apart.
And by the way, the Chianti Classico is highly recommended.
No.
It is. Isn't it, Scott?
Don't bring it back into this house.
$9.32.
For me,
Red
I would rather special. Just have a glass of Diet Coke. Jeez, I'll there's be nothing honest, special about that.
I really like them both. I was surprised by them both.
Oh, yes.
But
given that they're Gabbiano.
Personal preference, I prefer the non-oak
Chianti. I prefer it for $6, but if you're saying they're both the same price, I'd drink the Chianti
Classico. You all both had a second glass of the... Just regular.
You might have had a second glass of both of them.
Did you really?
No, I don't
he's drunker than me.
So you guys have had four glasses of wine. That's why you gave it such a high score. No.
Because we like it.
There's still wine
cheeks
left in the
glass. Pink.
Well, that's because I'm so embarrassed by your 83.
It's so, really embarrassing. Listeners.
It really is embarrassing.
I have had two half glasses of wine.
Because.
So I want you to know that I can still be trusted. These two drunks cannot.
Yeah, would vodka be more comfortable for you?
Do not buy. God.
Yeah.
Do not buy either one
Scott,
of these.
Scott, go get her some vodka. She'll be more comfortable with that.
From vodka?
Yes. You and your Russian friends.
From one friend to another.
Perestroika, perestroika.
Okay, seriously, you're going to get us put on some kind of list.
You're going to get us put on some kind of list.
I think we're on a list.
Although Trump is already pretty friendly to those people. Trump probably likes you.
Yeah.
So, have you seen the new Biden sticker?
No. I didn't see the old Biden sticker.
It's spelled B-Y-E-D-O-N.
Biden?
Biden.
Oh.
Oh, I get it.
That's good.
I haven't seen it.
I did get the same kind of face mask that Joe Biden wears. The black one, the neoprene black one. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, yeah. And Becky didn't know why I bought it. I was like,
I didn't know it was to be like Joe.
If I could be like Joe.
I just wanted a stylish one. Could be. I'm going to wear a face mask in places. It should look good. The cheap-ass Chinese surgical face mask does not look good. So I want one to look nice. It looks good.
I buy the Nepalese surgical face mask.
Wow.
Well.
How fancy of you. No, I just, although the lightweight surgical face mask is comfortable. This one is less, but it has... stretched out and I broke it in. It's like a new pair of shoes. You know, you get your surgical mask. Folks, if you don't wear a mask, well, fuck you. But still.
No, for sure.
If you do, even if you're on the... Go find a good-looking mask you like. Make it fun. And then break it in like a new pair of shoes.
If you're not wearing a mask, wear one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is nothing you can do other than staying at home and wearing a face covering to prevent the spreading of this virus.
If you think a mask is unimportant because it's, you know, it's bullshit, there's a different thing you can do. I have been told. I have been told that wrapping your face in duct tape is very effective. So I suggest you wrap your head in duct tape.
Duct tape's very expensive, Rob.
But
if you don't have duct tape,
no
and
gaps.
You don't have a face covering, saran wrap.
Yes, or a plastic bag.
And if you take it out of the box, and you can wrap it on your head tighter.
Something I wanted to say is for those of you that are parents.
What?
I think that you can set the tone for face mask wearing with your children.
Yes.
Especially before they go back to school.
Mm.
So you can teach them to wear a face mask just like you would teach them to wear clothes, shoes, the whole deal.
Some of those people don't know about shoes.
What if their name's not Karen's?
So on top of that, I think you can also make it be fun for your children.
Yep.
We better not have any Karens listening. I do think...
Oh, no, you didn't go there.
I also think... So Crayola makes these... Like, they make 5 face masks labeled for each day of the week, and they come with, like, a little laundry mesh bag, which I thought was really cool. But that way you can keep track of what you've worn each day. Then you can put it in the washing machine on Saturday and just go.
Yes, but Henry saw those and said they were not epic.
I am not finished.
I stole your thunder, didn't I?
So Henry and William didn't like those.
No.
So then we had a conversation. What kind of face mask would you want to wear to school? William wants to wear Batman.
Of course.
Of course.
Totally fine. We got him some Batman face masks. Henry, what kind of face mask do you want to wear? Spider-Man and Pokemon. Perfect.
On the same one?
I actually offered a Frozen one to William, and he didn't like it. He just wants to wear Batman, which is totally fine. But just that conversation, it's super easy, and then you can go from there. So they'll be excited to wear them.
I'm going
to
replace all your face masks with the Gabbiano Knight on a Horse face mask.
Oh, yes. Cavalero.
The one that I wear the most is purple and has snowflakes on it, so it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to buy stickers for Gabbiano and stick them on everything that you see because it's great. Highly recommended. Tip of the cap even, too, especially for the Chianti Classico, except for your blatant ripoff and
you
just
guys
cutting corners. But
I'm surprised by your score because you did mock it and you were really poo-pooing.
Yes, but it pisses me off because they cut every corner, but it's still good.
Why?
Rolling my eyes too, Scott. Rolling my eyes.
I don't care. Okay, Karen. So, folks. For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B. No, I didn't say that.
He thought it.
Yeah, but then I realized what that meant.
Well.
We're going to take a break.
Karen.
We're not taking a break. That's the end of this episode.
I know. Listen to me. You just fucked me up, but that's okay. Why do you have to confuse me? I knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do an outro, but then you screwed me over. Damn it.
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Gabbiano, be original. Go to the mountains, grow your Chianti Classico grapes, and then call the Chianti Classico Chianti, because you can put Chianti on oak. They don't charge much for any of these wines. What the hell's the difference? You know?
Yeah,
whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
You're such a purist.
I am.
Snobbery.
I know. So, folks. Scott and I have to do a second episode so I can get sober, as you'll find out.
Yeah.
But we're going to bid you adieu. And see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night.